Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change. It's a great pleasure, as always, to tap up with a colleague who we've had on the show before, and also no better one, because she's now dedicating significant time right now to helping our military veterans find best-fit career opportunities. So welcome again, Michelle Letterman. How are you this morning, Michelle?
I'm good, Zara. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Well, let me do a brief intro. Michelle is author of The 11 Laws of Likeability, which indeed was the first show we did, and now the new book, Heroes Get Hired. She's the founder of Executive Essentials, based in New Jersey. It's a training company, provides communication leadership programs, as well as executive coaching services. Michelle truly believes that real relationships lead to real results. She specializes in teaching people how to communicate with confidence, clarity, and connection. And I think you're going to hear that today when we talk about this second book. In truth, people do business with people they like, people who are authentic, down to earth, and convert conversations really into genuine, meaningful relationships, and then lead to these win-win situations for everyone. An accounting and communication graduate from Lehigh University, followed by her MBA from Columbia, Michelle first spent 10 years in finance to begin her career as a CPA in audits, and then working as a merger and acquisition analyst. And her experience ranges from venture capital to hedge funds. It includes positions as a financial strategist, investment advisor, and director of communication. So I share that with you all so you appreciate the breadth and also the various ponds, oceans, and streams she's swum in. She's delivered seminars internationally for companies, universities, schools, nonprofits, and as I mentioned, though, today our topic is she turned her attention to helping returning military vets secure career opportunities. And I guess that's like where I'd like to start. Why? What caught your attention? Why now?
Well, you know, we have over a million veterans coming back into the civilian workplace over the next 5 years. And although we had some good employment numbers yesterday coming down to, what, 7.7% or 7.5% unemployment, the numbers for unemployment for veterans is much higher. Just post-war 11, it's in the 12 to 13% range, depending on gender and age. And for those in any war, it's as high as 26%. Mm. They need this help. And they've served, and this is my way of serving them.
You bet. And I would say myself, having been part of an organization, large military contract organization, that certainly is one option. But the skills and abilities and leadership backgrounds of our military, particularly those younger, they've had experiences and built fiber that regretfully a lot of companies don't know how to recognize or translate in a way.
Well, you know, I was having a really interesting conversation yesterday with an organization who sponsored this book. Actually, Citi sponsored the book and ensured that we could get it into veterans' hands free of charge. So we're discussing how to find the candidates and how to onboard them, because they're desperately seeking veteran candidates to hire and are challenged by finding qualified candidates, but also helping them with that transition. And so it is thinking outside the box of how to translate these skills. NBC, who was the publisher of this book, was also there, and they're very big into veterans. And one of the things that they were saying, excuse me, is that the veterans are coming in with experiences that you can't get from a graduate.
Yeah,
right?
That's so exactly right, yeah.
It's really a matter of having us understand from the hiring as well as from the candidate perspective how these skills can translate, and that's the crux of it. It's translating that ability, that knowledge, that initiative, that adaptability, into how it looks in the corporate world.
I would say as well, there's another dimension too that I'm sure your book touches on. It's actually though matching then the talent to the task. So it's not just your skills, but what are our veterans motivated to do and be? Who are they with their innermost fiber? And by the way, folks, the kind of things you see and demonstrate in loyalty, process orientation, protecting the flanks of their peers and so on. That sounds like attributes that I really like for my team players within my not-for-profit, my university, my for-profit business now.
One of the things that we were discussing was the mission-based approach. You know, when people have chosen to serve, they feel the mission and they feel the purpose. And I think one of the things that organizations need to do to help in the process of really tapping into the skills of their veteran employees is to help them understand how what they're doing in that organization fits into the bigger picture of the mission, the purpose, rather than here's just the task.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps bring out all of those great attributes in the employees.
And that they then can speak to it as they go through the process of interviewing. But, you know, I think, and perhaps in part, and why your book, which, by the way, folks can get, and it's free, available online, heroesgethired.com, is that how can people coming from a different background as the military, though, themselves perform in an interview setting? Because they may have never had to really do that.
Yes, and so one of the things we try to do in the book is take the things that are familiar, for example, going in front of a promotions board in the mm-hmm. military, and just talk about how you tweak. So the way that they would sit in a promotions board is obviously they're very stiff and rigid, and their feet are flat on the floor, their hands are on their knees, you know, straight back. All I want you to do with that is take their hands off their knees, bring them up, and put a smile on their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, just let their muscles relax just a tad. You still want to keep the tightness in your body because that's your energy, but just to allow a little bit of movement and a smile. And so you can find the situations that they were in and just tweak them for this corporate culture. And another thing that we really talk about, and for those veterans that are listening, it's the language mm-hmm. and some of the etiquette and protocols that are very, very different in the military versus the civilian workplace. For example, you may initiate a handshake with those that are higher level. You do not need to use sir or ma'am. Small talk is welcomed. Questions are welcomed. And it's these little nuances that help the employer see that they can transition.
You know, you make an example here. I still remember because I went to parochial school up until seventh grade, and then I switched to public school. And I remember the first class I was in, the teacher asked a question. I raised my hand. She called on me, and I immediately stood up next to my desk to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I was the total laughingstock of the class at that point. Like, what's with this? Well, you know, that was how I was, quote, raised in academic setting.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're trying to help us is to realize where some of those things you can kind of step aside. But on the flip side, though, that firm handshake that our members of the military know is a calling card. I'll tell you, there's a lot in civilian world that have no clue to understand the power of that.
It's true. And the only thing that we're going to add to that powerful military handshake, again, is eye contact and
yes,
a smile.
And a smile, exactly.
A smile. We need the smile. And that's a big thing. You know, I talked to a lot of veterans in researching the book and heard a lot of stories from both sides of the table. And I was shared with a bank who was looking at this guy who had great skills, but it was a customer-facing role. Mm-hmm. And the guy never smiled. The veteran never smiled during the interview. And he thought, you know, he could be great, but I don't know because I can't put him in front of my clients if he's going to look like he's not happy.
Or guarded, or that's
yeah.
a protective way of keeping things secret and held back. You know, you started your book out, which really it's a pleasure. It's an easy read for our listeners. Again, it's heroesgethired.com to get a free copy. Talking about limiting beliefs. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, this idea that there's a multitude of directions they're coming from the candidate themselves as well as the hiring manager in the company. So help us with that topic.
Very, very good point. So limiting beliefs are the things that we truly believe to the core of our being that are fact, but in truth, they are assumption.
Mm-hmm.
You can boil it down to men are stronger than women. That would be a limiting belief that a woman could have. Or there's only room for so many women at the top. Or a veteran might say, I'm only qualified to do, you know, stockroom or anything related to security. And we limit ourselves by this thing that we fully feel is the truth. And so for the veteran side, it is disabusing ourselves of these restrictions that we're putting on ourselves and our abilities. It's being able to say, hey, these are the things that I really love doing, and I can get better at it, and I can learn, and I can, rather than I can't. And they would never hire me, or they would never consider. So we want to get rid of all of that. And from the employer side, it's, you know, believing that they will never fit in, or they will never make the transition, or they're only good for X, Y, or Z type of task roles. And so we really do need to train both sides of the table.
Well, I'd also tell you, though, I mean, take the word veterans out of our conversation, and that thing you just laid out in front of us is very comparable for someone who's in engineering that says they'd like to step up and try manufacturing. Oh, no, you know, you don't do enough. I mean, you can hear all those beliefs, whether they're in your head or somebody else's head, that we have to set aside.
Well, it's so true. And right now I'm actually writing my third book, which is called Get the Job First. And it's for the moms or parents that are returning to the workforce. It's for the new grads. It's for those that have been laid off. And so those groups also have all of those limiting beliefs. And it's just, how do we take what we have and turn that message around in our own head? But you're absolutely true. It's not just veterans.
Yeah, and I think you're right that sometimes the person you're interviewing with the most is the committee you carry in your own head.
Yes. And I was talking with a client yesterday, and I said, if you don't believe you can do it.
Right, then how?
Why should anybody else believe it?
So you stand nicely positioned in your book, too, that you state an interviewer is attempting to answer three basic questions. Why don't you lay those out for us?
Yes. So the three questions an interviewer is trying to learn is, can you do this job? Right. So is your skill set a match? Do you want to do this job?
Yes.
Is your interest and passions a match? And the third is, do you fit with the culture of the company? And that is part of that transition, that language that, you know, is this somebody I want to work next to feeling? So those are the three questions that you want to help them understand. And you also want to answer them for yourself to determine if it's the right fit for you.
Mm-hmm. And where do you think some of the opportunities are to help our returning veterans with some of that language there? Can you give us an example?
Well, you know, I'm going to start with actually the third question, which is the fit question.
You bet.
I think that's where people are most challenged is, well, how do I show them I fit? And the truth is, I tell this story in my book. When I was interviewing after business school, I interviewed with the top consulting firm, and I won't mention the name of it, but it was the one that it was like the Harvard of consulting firms. It was the one everyone wanted to go to. And I went through 7 rounds.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Right? So you think after 7 rounds, this job should be mine. you know, I everyone liked me. I was doing well in all the interviews. I'm expecting my offer, and I didn't get an offer. And I asked them why, and they said, your style was a little casual for us.
Ah.
And I thought for about an hour I was livid. I mean, I was pissed for an hour. I mean, like 7 interviews.
Right.
And about an hour later, I thought, oh, my God, thank God.
What a gift, exactly.
Exactly. Thank God they did not hire me because I was myself. That is my style. That's my personality. And if it's not a fit, then I probably would not have been at my best in that company mm-hmm. because that's not what they were looking for. And, you know, I actually chose a different consulting firm that didn't give me the highest offer because of the fit, because of the people that were there and the attitude and perspective that they had. So it is really critical for the veterans to not worry about that rigid military training in which you had to interact with people, you know, no expression. This is, okay, we're not on duty right now. This is, you are out with your friends in a professional environment, but a social professional. Maybe the good way to think of it is a social professional. And so, yes, you want to be cognizant of what you're saying. You don't want to curse, and you want to show your best foot, but you also want to chit-chat a little bit and show your personality and share a little bit of yourself. And, you know, you can mention where you grew up or you can mention a hobby that you have, and that's part of that fit. And to feel, I actually had one interview where my entire interview was about poetry and dog rescue.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had an offer before I left the office.
And in fact, that just a quick sidebar, that's why when I coach clients, you absolutely have to take advantage of a category, whether you call it other or hobbies, avocation, mm-hmm. and interests, that you display
additional
information, that side of you that makes you a totally holistic human being. But it's amazing how many people, the conventional wisdom is, I shouldn't put that on my resume. Au contraire.
I usually coach people to put it on as well. You know, if it's going to put you onto a third page, then obviously don't do it. But as I said, you know, I always put that little thing on, and you would be surprised that my questions often start at the bottom of the page
Oh,
you water ski. Oh, what type of skiing? And that's where you can then be yourself, relax, feel comfortable, and show your real personality. And when you bring that real personality out, then that fit determination happens for you.
Exactly. You know, for anyone, regardless of the returning military veterans, Michelle, or those that have stepped out of college or those that are wanting to shift careers, you know, the interview itself is a pretty stressful situation. And I think you do a nice job in your book of how you can fortify people so they can indeed approach that experience a little bit more natural and thus confident. Why don't you share some of the thoughts there?
Well, you know, fear is a powerful emotion, mm-hmm. and I actually think it is a gift of an emotion because we want to basically have that fear and realize what that fear is telling us. That fear is telling us that we care. That fear is telling us that we're invested, that this is important, that we should take this seriously. Now, that's where we want it to stop. Mm-hmm. We want to say, okay, I'm aware of it. That's cool. That's great. Let it drive my energy and my enthusiasm and my passion, but let it not prevent me. So we don't want to play, you know, and I talk about some of the mind games that we play mm-hmm. with ourselves. We don't want to play charades and act as if we think they want us. We need to act as who we are. We don't want to, you know, play games like sorry, apologizing for the fact that we don't have civilian work experience.
Mm-hmm, right.
You have plenty of experience and nothing to be sorry for. So we want to come from that place of strength. And one of the ways to manage the fear and the anxiety is to tell yourself the mental messages that you want them to think. So, for example, you are thinking, oh, my God, limiting belief, I'm not good enough, they will never hire me, I have no experience. That's what you're going to project.
You will, yeah.
Instead, I want you to think, I have so much experience, I can handle any situation they throw at me, I know if they give me a chance, I can hit this out of the ballpark. They would be lucky to have somebody like me on their team. That's what you're going to project.
In fact, the projection I often to encapsulate that as well, Michelle, is that it's that you're not there to audition. You know, it's a very different mindset to walk in to say, and not to be arrogant and say, I already control the job, but this isn't an audition. This is going in and sharing, you know, your value proposition, your value promise, as we talked about in a prior segment.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I haven't thought about it as an audition, and maybe there's a small piece of it that can
fall into it as a trap.
Way.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I like to think of it as a conversation. Right. And we call this interview, it's the same thing, it's speed dating, right? And when you're speed dating and you're looking for that fit, sometimes you want to make sure that they want to date you first, and then you're deciding if you want to take them out again on a third date or second date.
Well, I think the other thing, if you look at the word interview, split into two words, is enter and view. So this mm-hmm. is, as you say, a conversation. It's about getting perspectives of one another. And so that probably is another thing, of course, it's worth mentioning, is that doing your homework for these interviews and having actually more questions of them than they have of you can prepare you to take the upper hand in the process.
Absolutely. And first of all, I love how you just broke out interview, and I might have to steal that.
You got it. It's yours. Take it and run with it.
But, you know, yes. Absolutely prepare in advance. There's so much that you can do before the interview to be ready for that interview, and that's also going to help manage anxiety and fear. For example, veteran networks are vast and robust. You can find people that have been in that industry that have come before you. If you have taken advantage of the GI Bill and gone to school, alumni of that school. So look to your network, and there's so many veteran organizations out there. I have a huge resource list in the book, and again, if you go to heroesgethired.com, you can watch the videos and download that resource list and lots of activities that you can do as well. So look for all those ways to get information, to do informational interviews, to ask about the industry. Google is your friend. Look for articles on that company that have been up lately. Look at their stock price. Just get a sense. And this is not something you have to spend days and days doing. You know, spend a couple hours.
That's right. We're speaking with, by the way, Michelle Lederman, and her new book is Heroes Get Hired. You can get it at heroesgethired.com. You know, we've, here in the core of our conversation, Michelle also mentioned things that really could apply to advice for anyone hiring for positions, but I want our readers to appreciate this book is specifically tired for veterans, particularly in bringing up some of those tougher questions or situations, you know, for example, particularly when questions are completely inappropriate, if not illegal, that someone would ask, have you shot anyone? And you know, the training you give them through your book to how to cope with that.
Would you believe that in talking with veterans, I've been told that they are asked that question about
sure.
a third of the time?
A third of the time.
It's crazy. And, you know, and there's very different reactions. One woman said that as soon as she's asked that question, she will never work for the company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I spoke to her about how I've explained in the book that although inappropriate and potentially offensive, there could be other purposes for it. And she goes, I don't care. and so that's their right and their perspective. But here's what I want you to do as a veteran. I don't want you to eliminate your possibility of getting that job in that moment. So what I want you to be able to handle these tough questions with elegance, with grace. Mm-hmm. And then it's your choice later whether or not you want that job. But I don't want you to blow the interview in that moment that they've done something that could be offensive, because maybe they're looking to see if you are
reacting. Exactly.
Yeah.
Reacting.
And can you, because you know what? It could be a test that you're in an environment in which you're dealing with a lot of people from different cultures, and somebody says something. Are you able to handle it, or are you going to react? Again, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't want to say for a minute that I think it's appropriate to ask that question. But if it's asked, which apparently it is quite often, I want you to think about this technique called extract and redirect.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of extracting yourself from the question at hand and redirecting them to something that's more appropriate. For example, they say, have you shot anyone? And you might say something like, you know, I think that there's a lot of misperceptions out there around how many people that are serving are actually facing drug combat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What I can tell you is that we've all faced stressful situations, and the way that those stressful situations apply to this work environment is that we can handle that, 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 that. So what you saw there was I extracted from the question at hand and answered something more generic, or not even answered, just referenced something in the aura of that question, which is drug combat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I redirected them to a skill that would be applicable to this job. So extract and redirect.
Yeah, that's an important technique for anyone that gets those kind of quirky questions that are invariably are going to happen. It does. But true to form, though, it's a telling sign when someone from an organization would pose that question. The other one, obviously, the whole awkwardness of those veterans that have come back with physical injuries or even invisible injuries. And your advice on that, I think, as well, is just beautifully positioned in your book, Heroes Get Hired.
Well, one of the most important things, you know, I always say veterans are fighting for people's rights. I always want to make sure that they know their rights. Now, you do not have to disclose any information. American with Disabilities Act says you don't have to tell them anything that you don't want to, unless it directly impacts your ability to do the job.
The job, yeah.
So that's where you need to make sure that this makes sense and this is a fit. So it is your choice of what you want to disclose. I am somebody who believes that bringing it out to the forefront and talking about it and sharing about the impact. For example, most of the invisible injuries that I'm hearing about are hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing loss is something that's easily accommodated in an organization. You might simply say, you know, if they ask a question, which they shouldn't, and again, it's illegal for them to say, do you have PTSD or do you have any injuries we should know about? You can simply say, everything that I bring back with me from my time in service is going to help me do this job to the best ability, and there's nothing that will hold me back. You know, you can do something that very broad like that, or you might say, if you choose to, you know, there was the one impact that I do continue to work through is some slight hearing loss. I do ask organizations that are interviewing me if they make accommodations around a quieter workspace or you know, those type of things. Obviously, trading floor is not the best environment for me because I need to be able to parse the different sounds. And, you know, it really can be very conversational and talking about what simple things can be done to accommodate.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And by the way, that's a human condition. They wouldn't be the only people in the workforce that are dealing with hearing loss that can be accommodated and handled based on seating, based on technology to help.
Absolutely.
Michelle, your book's been out for a while now. Tell me what kind of reactions you're getting then.
We're getting some really great feedback. I've had a lot of veterans reach out to me. And by the way, I welcome any veterans with questions to reach out to me. And I'll share my social media platforms, which is my full name, Michelle Tillis Lederman. And it's Lederman with a D, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. And it's author and speaker on Facebook, or M.T. Lederman on Twitter. And I'm on there. I'll answer your questions. And people have reached out to me and told me about stories, scenarios. I've kept up with some of the cast of the videos in the book, mm-hmm. and several of them have gotten some great placements. So their involvement really paid off. I've just really loved the connection that I've had with with that audience.
And, you know, as always, when I speak with authors who've written books or people have taken up doing live radio even, is you don't know or to understand or appreciate the doors that this is going to start flipping open in new directions is going to pull you personally. So I would just offer, Michelle, thank you very much for your service, personally service and commitment to our veterans and those who are making that possible through you. So best of everything. Again, Michelle's website as well, heroesgethired.com, for a free copy of that book to encourage our veterans, point them to Michelle's way. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Zara.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.